Let us pray. God of life and wisdom, pour out your spirit upon your people now, that we may hear the words you intend for us this morning. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the sixth chapter of John, verses 56 through 69. Let us listen for God's word for us this morning. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate, and they died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever. He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But among you there are those who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the first who were the ones that did not believe, and the one who was the one that would betray him. And he said, "For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father." Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Jesus says, "Eat me." That's it. That's all I got from my first reading of scripture this week. It's hard to get past the literalness of that very first line. Emily may have had some issues with what the editors of the lectionary left out last week, but I'm having a ton of issues with what they have left in. Why couldn't it be a little easier this week? Why not the third chapter of John instead of the sixth? You know, that part about God so loving the world? But no. This week we get a passage that Bob Larson at Welcome Table on Tuesday jokingly recalled from memory as the cannibal scripture. If you ever wondered why some neighbors of early Christians thought that they were a part of some religious cult that practiced cannibalism, know that this scripture didn't help to assure them otherwise. Sure, we can assuage our uneasiness by painting this scripture with the brush of metaphor. Jesus isn't really saying to eat his literal flesh or his literal blood, right? The only problem is that the language that the author of John uses leaves little doubt that he intended for this passage to be interpreted at the very least as the very physical act of eating. Theologian N.T. Wright suggests that the most accurate translation of the Greek verb here might be closer to our word for munch or chew, leaving no room for a purely spiritual or metaphorical translation. Another commentary I read suggested that though this may seem absurd to us, description from practices of mystery religions during the time of the early Christian church included communing and seeking physical union with a deity, as we hear described in this instance of eating flesh and the drinking of blood. They wanted to be one with the deity. Remember, Christ says, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me and I in them." Perhaps John is trying to further emphasize the parallels of this story with the story of the Hebrew people in the wilderness. Just as God gave manna from heaven, God now gives Christ to sustain and give life. Jesus is the perfection of God's gift of sustenance, offered first through manna to those in the wilderness and now found in Christ's very body and life. Even the complaining of the disciples harkens back to the murmuring of God's people in the wilderness. And who can really blame the disciples? There is nothing I find more relatable in this passage than the disciples telling Jesus, "This teaching is difficult. We want it to make sense. We want it to fit easily into our worldview, easily explained and comprehended in a way that lets us feel good about moving away from it and not really considering it at all. Why can't we just say, yeah, John is obviously talking about communion here, a sacrament we are all familiar with and a story that doesn't really offend our 21st century sensibilities. Let us lean comfortably into our Presbyterian understanding of eating bread and juice in remembrance of Christ and away from the sacramental transubstantiation of the early church. Keep Jesus as a thought experiment, a nice idea, a shadow in history relived and revived each week in the words of Scripture. Let's celebrate the empty tomb while ignoring the real impact of it. Fit Jesus into our rational minds so that we become the gatekeepers of our faith. We want it to be easy, but it's not. Eat my flesh and drink my blood, abide in me and I in you. It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. It is never just one thing or the other. Jesus always seems to say it is both and neither. It is not enough for Jesus to be in our head space. Jesus must also be in our heart space, in our gut, in our very being. And that isn't easy. Because when we let Christ in, we don't get to dictate what will stay the same and what will be transformed. It's never easy to let Jesus abide in us. And we know it's not. The disciples know it's not. We are told many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. Even of the 12 he chose, the irony of their loyalty here is juxtaposed against their turning of their backs at the crucifixion later in the gospel. It reinforces the difficulty of it all. Even when they know that Jesus is the answer, "Lord, to whom can we go?" Even though they know it's the answer, they will still doubt. The answer seems simple. Abide in Jesus and let Jesus abide in you. Let the Word be in your flesh and let your flesh embody the Word. Let the Word be in your spirit and let the Spirit bring out the Word within you. Things not being easy seems to be the perpetual state of the world. In Afghanistan, we are reminded that war never seems to bring the outcomes we desire, as the Taliban regime reclaims power on the heels of America ending its military engagement over there. In the wake of this transition of power, we see the fear and concern as people seek refuge from oppression. Haiti digs through piles of debris left by earthquakes and tropical storms just weeks after the assassination of the country's president. Even in our own backyards, we see angry protests everywhere we're looking, whether it be parents at school board meetings or people screaming back and forth on social media about how wrong each other are. At every turn, doubt seems to claim another victory. And it is the seed that is sown when we want a faith that is easy, a faith that only requires our attention on Sunday mornings or Wednesday nights, a faith that we just think about and never live out. And yet there does seem to be one thing here in the scripture this morning that might suggest it's a little easier than we're making it. Jesus tells us that no one can come to him unless it is granted by the Father. In our brief statement of faith, we declare that nothing in life or in death can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. It is our reminder that we do not earn our salvation or our worthiness. It is God who gives those things freely. It is God who chooses to be in relationship with us, and it is God who makes us able. There is not one of us alive who is unable to abide in Christ, nor is there anyone in whom Christ does not abide. Bidding forward our transformation into people who love God and ourselves and our neighbors. And maybe it means getting out of our own heads and just walking forward with Christ. On our mission trip to Charlotte this past June, some of the youth and I took a walk around the city. We took water bottles with us because we were going to be walking around for quite some time, and the temperature in Charlotte in the middle of the summer can get real toasty real quick. At one point, we came across a man who appeared to be homeless. He asked for a bottle of water, and many of our youth obliged, and we just continued on our walk. The next morning, we did a little debrief of our day. I asked everyone why they were on this mission trip. Several said because they wanted to help people. A few said that their parents had signed them up. Others said that they wanted to meet new people and experience new things. After everyone had answered, I asked them to think about something. I asked them to think about their journey of faith. Every moment from the beginning to now, as we sat in those chairs looking at one another. I asked them to imagine that perhaps God had brought them every single step of the way, so that they would be there to give that man a drink of water. The answers are never easy if they are all we ever seek. If all we are looking for is the perfect box to store God in, to take God out whenever we need the credibility, we will never have the courage to let Christ abide in us. But if we do, if we dare to let Christ in, perhaps we will begin to see how easy it is to follow. So what will it look like for us to let Christ abide in us this week? Something tells me we will all have the opportunity. Let's not overthink it. Amen.